Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Night Shadows. I'm Stuart Best, where the paranormal is normal, where that which you thought you knew, you didn't. And where the future can be known if you know exactly where to look.
Well, good evening, everyone. Thanks for tuning in and listening. And we have Larry on his phone. He just got on board. Hi, Larry. How you doing?
Hey, Stuart. Was having trouble getting in. Every time I dialed that number for about three times, a recording kept saying that was not an active number, but I finally got in.
Yeah, I think something's going on because we got only a couple of listeners. So
They're
all getting bounced.
Yeah.
This happens. You know, Deep State, they're doing whatever they can do. I don't know why they bother. It's not going to change anything, but they don't understand that, I guess. Anyway, let me go back here. I wanted to get into some of the paranormal stuff that's showing up. And I know you had one could call it a paranormal incident down there on a lake by you. You want to get into that a little bit, Larry, for the folks?
Yeah, that was kind of interesting because Darnett and I went to Lake Nanawaya, which is a lake owned basically controlled by the Choctaw tribe, Indian tribe here in Oklahoma. And mm-hmm. when we were on the lake, Darnett took a couple of photographs and his in one photograph, and I sent you the photograph, so you know what
yes.
I'm talking about. One of them, there was a strange bright flash in the image as she took the picture, and, of course, you could see that. And then immediately the next frame, she took a picture, and something has entered the screen. The day we were there, it was bright sunshine. It was absolutely no birds, no bugs. It was cold. There was nothing flying or moving. I mean, it was just us. And in this picture, and I sent you that picture in the air, was these very bizarre-looking things zoom, and you could tell they were moving, but they didn't have wings either.
Yeah, it's one of the strangest things I've seen. But it makes you wonder what's really going on in the world today. Here's a headline: Mystery of Vanishing Jets and Loud Jet Sounds in Colorado's Grand Junction Region. How do we supposedly have five A-10s and one KC-10, that's their big refueler, I think, six jets in total, vanish without visual or sound signature? And why? This comes from Earth Files. So, Grand Junction, Colorado. Population of 60,000 people live on the Colorado River and its confluence, the Grand Junction, with the Gunnison River. The valley was long occupied by the Ute people and clearly indigenous cultures. Then the article goes on a little bit. Suddenly, objects disappear. Okay, I'll go back a little bit. For more than half a century, there have been eyewitness reports around our world in which people see here an aerial craft that can be one of many shapes, even sometimes look like a terrestrial airplane with wings. But then suddenly, the objects disappear to the human witness eyes. So many eyewitness reports like this over the years have raised the question: how much of this alien presence interacting with Earth is frequently above us in the air or on land or even underwater, but completely invisible to human eyes? Relevant to that question this past week was an encrypted protomail, I guess, communication I received from someone calling themselves the Messenger. Sent a large, high-resolution photograph he said he took in Grand Junction and the region on November 8th. And he shows a picture of the airplanes. They disappeared. They vanished. What do you make of that, Larry?
Well, I find it interesting that you're talking about an Indian tribe also, because it seems like a lot of activity that's going on is somehow linked in to tribal land or ancient artifact sites or petroglyphs or, you know, this type of thing.
Yeah, this is, I guess my take, they say this has been going on for some time, so I suppose we could rule out Project Bluebeam. Because Project Bluebeam, if you're not familiar with it, folks, they can, I don't know how you say it, project three-dimensional objects with sound into the atmosphere. And this is how they plan to bring in the fake Messiah. They will have a 3D projection, and he will be a Messiah for all people, and he will morph into one. In other words, he will appear as, for each religious group, might appear as Confucius. To the Christians, he would appear as Christ. To China and whatnot, that might be Buddha. Islam might be Allah. We don't really know exactly how they're going to do it. And then what their plan is, according to Project Bluebeam, would be to morph this into one figure, thus combining all the world religions into one. And that they've been laying the groundwork for that for, I don't know how long, years and years, that the various religions really are misinterpreting basically their scriptures, and that they will all morph into one. And of course, the love of this world leader, some call him Maitreya, which is very interesting. Larry and I can get into Maitreya a little bit, maybe. Their love is socialism, communism. Well, if you love, you'll just give everything you have, and it doesn't matter if you're destitute as long as others have what you have. It's a really interesting theory they have about true socialism. We don't have. We've never had it. True socialism is one thing. Dictatorial socialism, which is what the United Nations wants to bring in, is something totally different. But I wanted to bring that one up. Vanishing jets. This could be alien technology. Chemtrails. A lot of people have photographed. I think you even have photographed some kind of weird stuff down where you are when you were kind of up there on the mountain. Want to elaborate on any of that?
Well, I really have, oddly enough, I've actually found in the images I've taken of planes that are leaving chemtrails, I've found round ball-like or orbs in the chemtrails.
Yep.
Behind the planes. And I've had that kind. Then again, at the same time, and by the way, I think I sent you a report earlier about, I think Dale and some of them had it up, about these these elongated snake-like objects.
Yes.
You know, because I've filmed some of those myself, in the last couple of years, up here around the mountains. And now they're claiming that we've got even more of them that are showing up over a number of the states here in the U.S. So they're beginning to be everywhere.
Yeah, I've got some articles we'll get into on that. Here's another weird sighting. A husband, former law enforcement, and wife, scientist, sitting outside their recreational vehicle at a public campsite, witnessed a very bright light approach their campsite from the south in a very erratic manner, appearing to slow or stop on several occasions as it drew near. It got within 50 yards, they estimated, and in a sense of alarm, the husband reached for his .45 caliber sidearm, but he felt unable to use his arm or lift the firearm. The object, estimated by witnesses to have been approximately 20 feet in diameter, hovered nearby for about 8 seconds and suddenly accelerated towards the west, disappeared very quickly to the west. So he couldn't use his firearm. Isn't that kind of an odd one? We're in a paranormal, folks, at the beginning of this.
Well, at the same time, Stuart, I'll mention something that happened to me outside Mena. My wife wasn't there. She was off on a job, and late one night, my dog woke me up, and this was like 1 or 2 in the morning. My dog woke me up barking and just raising Cain, and I lifted the window blinds and looked outside, and, you know, and I'm really not wearing a tinfoil hat right now either, but there was a craft about that same size you just described in the field next door across the drive from my house, and it had a couple of humanoid-type individuals, you know. It was semi-transparent, and one of them exited and went back in the craft, and it left out, and I ran and tried to get my camera and take pictures, and the only thing I could get was pictures of light as it was moving off over Rich Mountain. So there's a lot of weird stuff, and people are not nuts. These things really do exist.
Yeah, they do. In fact, they really, really do exist. I was went over to Arc Code, and he had, we'll get into that too on his latest, but he had a thing up about, I guess he posted it some time ago, that UFOs really are real, folks. They are. I've seen them myself. A lot of pilots have seen them. Very, very real. And we don't report them as professional pilots. Very few pilots will actually report them because they know they're going to get in trouble if they do. And so they just kind of like the movie Close Encounters, where it starts out with this Ares jet aircraft having a close encounter with a gigantic UFO that went right by them. And they asked, Center asked, do you want to report it? And there's a pause. No, we don't want to report it. That's the way it is. And so there are probably thousands of UFO sightings that never get reported by anybody. And we still have, go ahead, Larry, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to insert right there was, you know, my wife, who's listening on the phone somewhere far away from me at the moment, she knows what I'm talking about. Me and her actually had gone to Hugo one day in the broad daylight, and we headed back, and you could see a ball-like object, a silver ball-like thing in the sky, and then we drove about 2 miles down and turned off the main highway, and there were two orbs, or cylinders, rather. They were elongated.
Mm-hmm.
They wasn't snake-like or anything. They looked like, really, it looked like 757s or 60. They were really big, but they didn't have wings, and they floated.
Yep.
And there was no sound. And Darnett wouldn't get out of the car, but I got out of the car and looked up at them, and they just floated across the sky, and they looked like what you said. You called them Russian cosmospheres, maybe, or something of that type. That's what they
yep.
looked like. And matter of fact, oddly enough, when we got home, Darnett got sick. She was sick for 2 or 3 days, really sick, whether it was radiation of some type or what, I do not know. But matter of fact, we had called MUFON on that, and they
mm-hmm.
came down. They didn't talk to us on that one, but they came down to talk about the silver object that we saw above Hugo. And then the next thing I knew, the sheriff called me in. I was a deputy sheriff. And told me that I was just plain nuts and I needed to leave my job. So I lost a job over that one, Stuart.
Yep. I mean, that's not uncommon. There's probably a lot of eyeballs rolling all the time. They're not going to be rolling very much longer. The arrival is very, very close at hand. It's going to fool probably 95% of the human race, including a good share of the Christians, if they're still here. This is serious stuff. In fact, it's so serious that in our Jepson flight manuals, there's a whole section on reporting unidentified flying objects, UFOs. So they take it extremely seriously. And, of course, because companies don't like the publicity that they get from their flight crews, they've decided just not to report it. And I'm 100% behind the pilots. Being in one myself, you never would report that. And you see some very, very strange things up there in the heavens. You really do. Here's another report. Winston-Salem, North Carolina. At least five people witnessed a fleet of cigar-shaped, now that's what you were talking about, craft that appeared to change their color from bright red to silver. The objects are reported to have been able to move abruptly across the sky. They also appeared to be able to disappear briefly from sight. The objects seemed to the witnesses to move only in a horizontal plane and did not appear to the witnesses to change altitude. One witness comments that the other people nearby seemed oblivious to the presence of the objects in the cloudless sky. Well, basically most people are, which is why they don't believe in chemtrails, because they never look up. And if they did look up, they'd just assume that it was a, I can't even remember the name of them now, not a chemtrail, but a contrail. You can always tell the difference, folks. A contrail disappears within a minute or less if it's a contrail. That's just vapor from the jet engines. A chemtrail will spread out and stay for hours and hours and hours. There's a huge difference. NASA was trying to tell kids in school, those are all contrails. That's what they are. They're contrails, so don't worry about them. Well, they aren't, and I don't know what they're doing, but...
Hey, Stuart.
Yes, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I just got a text from Darnette, who's listening to the show somewhere else, and she said she just sent you a link of, or a picture of what she took over Hugo, Oklahoma in the night sky.
Oh, yep, I got it. Here it is. Photographed over Hugo, Oklahoma. I remember this.
Yeah.
You sent those to me. Yeah. I don't know why people can't believe this stuff. They don't. I get, maybe it scares them. I've often wondered, you go to a scary movie and you walk out, you can say, well, boy, that was good science fiction. But you go to bed at night, you know, because it was just sci-fi. What we're dealing with isn't sci-fi, folks. It's real. Very, very real. Thanks, Darnette. Appreciate that. Yeah. I don't know, Larry. What do you think? Why is it that people just cannot wrap their mind around this?
Well, Stuart, I've come to the conclusion pretty much that they don't want to know about it. I mean, you know, when it, you know, this is the thing that, you know, for some time you and I shared the conversations of what I was seeing and what you would see, and then sometimes I would draw something and send it to you, but then people would say, when you would, you know, talk about it, they would say, where's the photos? Well, guess what, Stuart? When I started getting actual photos of UFOs and posting them and putting them up and sending them to you, people would say, oh, that's just a smudge. That's just a blink of light. This is that. This is that. You know, they don't want to know, Stuart.
Yeah, I can't remember how I used to word it, but you cannot satisfy a critic. If a UFO that was 100 feet in diameter landed right in front of a critic, he would say he was hallucinating and it wasn't real. You know, and if he was abducted and examined, he would probably say the same thing. It was just a bad dream because they are not real and this is not happening. I remember there was a show on X-Files where the guy kept saying, this is not happening. This is not happening, as he was being abducted. Okay, here's another one. Dr. Greer. Now, he's the guy, folks, if you're not familiar with Dr. Greer, that ran a disclosure project, actually still is. But here is the delusion. Here is the deception. This is what he says. Learn how to reach out to the stars in universal peace. Contact training program with lectures on remote viewing and descriptions of contact from CE5 expeditions with photos. everything you need to know to make contact and form your own contact groups. This comprehensive program gives you all the materials used in C-SETI workshops and expeditions so you can individually or with your own groups begin to contact extraterrestrial civilizations. In studying and using these materials, you'll learn how the contact has been made and how you too can become an ambassador to the universe promoting universal peace. Folks, that is the deception. These are fallen angels posing as extraterrestrials. If you don't, if you have not gone, somebody wrote in and said, well, how do I get to Angel Fall? I've got a YouTube channel. It's called Angel Fall 923. Type that in. It'll get you there. I've got a 7-hour, 20-minute video that I made a long time ago. It's called UFOs Gateway to Hell. And in that video, we prove conclusively, not just by scripture, but by other stuff, what you're dealing with. And you are not dealing with aliens from other planets. You are dealing with shape-shifting fallen angels, and their whole goal is to deceive the human race and take them to hell, hence my video, Gateway to Hell, because that's exactly what it is. Here's another thing. The U.S. state of Texas has become a hot spot for UFO sightings, with hundreds seen this year alone, a researcher has claimed. Daily Star Online recently revealed how residents in the deep south state city of Dallas witnessed the infamous snake-like UFO in the skies. Well, that snake-like UFO, Larry, is what you were talking about, right? Only they've been seen now just about everywhere.
Yeah, when they were silver in color. The ones I took of the night sky a couple of years ago off of the mountain in the Oklahoma Mountain Gateway, and you could see it, and it was snake-like. And now, though, suddenly, there's been an explosion of them, and those things are being seen everywhere.
Yeah, they're coming out into the open, folks. All of this is going to start coming out into the open. Just like Noah said, no longer play games, show themselves. And that's exactly what's going to happen. They're going to start showing up, and they're preparing humanity for this grand delusion. If you go into Thessalonians, it talks about a grand delusion. The grand delusion in Thessalonians is linked directly to an arrival. Even him who's coming is working after with the workings of Satan. It's an arrival, and it's a fake arrival of a false Messiah. And like I said, I think on the other program, if you're still standing here and a UFO lands and these guys get out and they say they are the creators, they're liars. They're just flat out lying to people. But you got to remember something. Most people are going to accept this as the absolute truth. They're going to believe these people. This is what the strong delusion is really all about. It has its basis, as we have talked before, in evolution. They all grew up on different planets with different environments, and so therefore they all look different. And that is propagated throughout movies like Star Trek and Stargate and those kind of things, where you got all these different-looking aliens. Actually, according to the Book of Enoch, they're shapeshifters. They can take on any shape they want. Anyway, here's another one, Larry. Bat-like flying humanoid confronted in southern Illinois. In fact, you sent this to me just a couple days ago. What is going on down there in Chicago?
Well, it's very interesting, Stuart. And of course, we're well aware of the flying creature that, they made the movie from.
Yes.
It seems to be the same type of stuff. The creature that they keep seeing and talking about and describing seems to change a little bit. from, you know, one time to the other, but there's a lot of this around Chicago and the state of Illinois, and, you know, you, for one, for a long time, said this is an ominous sign, you think.
Yeah, I made a note here just below. It says Mount Pleasant Mothman was sighted about a year before, and it was a continuous thing off and on, before the bridge collapse, the Mount Pleasant Bridge collapsing and killing all those people. Chicago has had a lot of Mothman sightings now for a number of years. Are they a precursor to Chuck Youngbrandt's and Red Elk's vision of a huge earthquake in the Lake Michigan area that destroys Chicago and all points south from an inland tsunami, which actually opens up to an inland sea? But here's what they said. We live in Edwardsville, Illinois. We're driving home from an event in St. Louis late one night. Unfortunately, I don't know the date, but I believe it was a work Christmas party. So that time of year, it was sometime before 1988 when we built our current house, blah, blah, and she goes on to say that. We were on Highway 270 between Illinois Route 157, Illinois Route 159, Glen Carbon, Illinois, traveling east. A human-sized thing flying west, duped down, like it was going to crash into her windshield and then over the top of her car. It was all black with huge wings and cape, and it did have a face similar to a human, and it seemed to be looking at us. It happened very quickly. Neither of us could believe our eyes and didn't see where it went from there. They never saw it again, I guess. Well, Darnett had a deal with a winged humanoid, right? That was right by her car. Stood right outside her car.
Yeah, it's and actually caused a great wind that slammed her car door shut. And this thing she saw was tall and had wings. I believe she said they were kind of leathery like, and it had what the only significant thing it resembled the head of a bird, like an eagle or some type of bird. And I do know that the Egyptian hieroglyphs are, you know, the drawings that the Egypt had mimic something of that nature. You remember?
Yep, I sure do. So they've been around for a long time. What are they? I guess nobody knows. So it's kind of like paranormal. That's what it is. Beyond the reach of science, and there's beyond the reach of a normal explanation for what we're seeing. And scientists are going to be scratching their head more and more as this stuff begins to develop. One thing to see UFOs. When you see a UFO, you got to ask, is it us? Is it them? Is it Project Bluebeam? Is it just a projection? What is it? With these kind of things, too many people are seeing them. Some people have actually been attacked by them. And not a good thing, I guess. Recent werewolves. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to mention right there, I just got a text from Darnett. She said that thing, after she saw it, she had prayed about it, and she was given the name Watcher, that it was a Watcher. She feels like the Lord told her it was a Watcher. And you got to remember, wasn't the fallen angels Watchers?
Yes, they are. That's what they're called. They're also, of course, God's watchers as well. But if it's kind of bat-like and that sort of thing, most likely it's a fallen angel watcher. And they can take shape any way they want. I believe they can even take the shape of a UFO. You wouldn't even know what you were... That's the problem with this thing. You don't really know what you're looking at, for sure. And it's going to get more and more spooky, I guess, as we go through this thing. But here's just the first headline. Although most sightings were reported before 2000, I think is what she's talking about, there have been a few sightings of Wolfman, Werewolf, or Dogman. The names are all different. but the descriptions are all similar to the folklore and legendary werewolf. And here again, Native Americans got a lot of this stuff, if I'm not speaking out of turn, right?
Oh, yeah. They, you know, they called them shapeshifters and skinwalkers and all kind of stuff. I mean, the shamans and the Native Americans, they were aware of this for a long time.
Yeah, and I know there's a ranch. What was Sky Ranch or something like that where I think they pretty much closed it now, where there were all kinds of portals and things coming out of the portals.
The last I had heard on that ranch, and I can't remember the name of it, Skywalker or something like that ranch, there's a really rich guy, a billionaire, I believe, that bought that place and has basically made it private now, and he's actually filming and doing research on portals and activity on that place, because that place is literally embedded with demonic spirits and entities and all of that coming and going, and it's unbelievable. Anybody that's, I believe they called it Skinwalker Ranch, Stuart, possibly
yes.
In the Four Corners region.
Yep, that's not too far from the Hopi. And the Hopi have all kinds of legends of almost all Native Americans talk about the Star People or the Star Nation People. And these were alien visitors. And I know a lot of people just roll their eyes, but those things are real, and they were just reporting what they saw. And I think they interacted with some of them. I read a couple of things right here on Night Shadow, some really weird stuff. And,
Stuart, what's so interesting, too, one that we skip over a lot is the Native Americans also had something they called the Ant People because they came from underground. And if you'll remember, Stan Deo, when I asked him, I believe on your show, what are we going to expect? When the arrival comes, is it just going to be from above or will it be below, too? And he said it'll come from both directions.
Yeah, they're going to come from above ground. That's what Red Elk said. Red Elk was very emphatic that the Long Walkers were going to break through. And we would be, I guess, attacked from both the heavens and from below. And I know a lot of people say, well, that's just garbage. That's not ever going to happen. Well, now they're digging up all these gigantic skulls everywhere. I interviewed Klaus Dohna on one of my conversations. I should put that up. Maybe people would love to hear it, but he has dug up some of this stuff, and he's found all kinds of artifacts. You know, even where mankind was riding dinosaurs, they made them into pets. It's right on the hieroglyphics on the rocks, and they are authentic. And they even found a pyramid-shaped one. I'm sure you've seen it, Larry. Where on the bottom it says something about when Jesus comes back or the Son of God comes back. I mean, this
That's
is
exactly
not anything
right.
new. Say again?
Yeah, and that is written on the bottom of that pyramid that Klaus had. It's written in writing that can only be exposed with the
black light or something?
No, not black light. The red light, whatever's that.
I know what you mean, but I don't know the name of it. I'm getting old.
Yeah. in other words, until we actually, our computers and our technology and our lighting systems of modern day, we couldn't even have found most of this stuff if we did stumble across it.
Yeah, infrared.
Infrared, that's it, yeah.
Yep, and on the bottom of this pyramid, which is ancient, it's not very big, it's a little one that they dug up somewhere. And by the way, Klaus Dohna had dug up, I think, the biggest one of bones, were like a 25-foot giant. If you go into Steve Quayle's site, he's written a lot about it. I would have to say Steve probably... one of the preeminent writers on these giants, and I think the biggest one that he talks about is like 35 feet tall. However, there may be far bigger ones than that. There's a picture of something poking its head up through the ice in Antarctica. It reminded me of The Thing when I saw it. Remember the movie The Thing, where they found this flying saucer had crash-landed, and then they found the body of the entity? Yeah, well, it reminded me of that. Anyway, getting on with stuff. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just gonna tell you, if you've got your internet up and going, I sent you before the show a Coast to Coast AM post about a strange craft photographed or an image above Antarctica.
I saw that.
And if you look at that,
Stuart,
that completely exactly resembles, remember what Florida Marquis showed on satellite, and he picked up one in the water and one flying above the water. It looked just like those, and this one was in Antarctica.
Yeah, there's, I think it was MacArthur, one of the old, I can't remember who it was, but one of our generals said that we were going to be fighting craft that would go from pole to pole in a matter of seconds or minutes, which can only be UFOs. We don't have anything that fast. In fact, it would melt if it went that fast. And normal, if it was a normal jet airplane, it would melt. Anyway, here's a prophecy, and I wanted to get to this. I was praying to the Lord for a word for us in the spirit. I saw the huge hand of God grab the globe of the world and shake it. Then he shook it again in much the same way you and I might shake a snow globe. And then he shook it harder. And I was reminded of the verses that God will arise and shake terribly the earth. Now, here's, I got some scripture. I dug it out because this is really bothersome. We don't know what year, but we definitely are getting very, very close to an awful lot of things happening. On the 20th and the fourth day of the ninth month, which this year, I thought it was the ninth. It isn't. It's the 22nd. It's an 11-11. 22nd, 2019. This is what it says. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once, it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. And I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations will come. Obviously, that's Jesus Christ. And I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter house will be greater than of the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. Then verses 20, this is Haggai 2, verses 6 through 9 I just read. Now 20 through 22. Listen carefully to what he says. And again, the word of the Lord came unto Haggai in the 24th day of the ninth month. Speak to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, saying, I will shake the heavens and the earth. I will overthrow the thrones of the kingdoms. I will destroy the strength of the kingdoms of the heathen. I will overthrow the chariots and those that ride in them, and the horses and their riders shall come down, every one by the sword of his brother. Now, that's my interjection, but the prophecy goes on. My children, prepare yourselves. The leader of America is being removed and replaced. The one who replaces him wishes harm on my people. This has been the enemy's plan for some time and is now being set in motion. You are no longer safe when this happens. This leader will attempt to take everything from my people, including your lives. Then there's another one. Great lack is coming for the world, but more intensely for those who bear my name. A plan is being set in motion to remove all that bears my name from the earth. That's Psalm 2, folks. All I have told you over the years and in his word, not just this prophecy, being set in motion and will begin quickly. You will not have time to adjust. You will not be allowed time to hide. So be prepared for what you will face now. It begins with the removal of the leader of America. What do you think of that, Larry? What's your comment on that? It's kind of scary.
Oh, that's a very, very sobering word, Stuart. And we're witnessing that. We're witnessing a communist coup by the deep government of America and the Democrats and some rhino Republicans to remove this president as we speak.
Yeah, they keep saying, well, you know, Trump's going to win again, and it'd be nice if he did, I guess. Maybe we'd get more delay. But I don't buy this. I think there's enough Republicans in the Senate that there's going to be a turnaround. And they will evict him, and he will be removed from office. Like you just said, this is a communist coup. This is what they have planned on a long, long time. If you read Rules for Radicals, which is kind of an interesting book, and Rules for Radicals, if you don't know what it is the takeover of the United States of America. It was written by, what's his name? Can't think of his name right now. But anyway, it one of the things it said in there, which people really need to believe and watch because it's happening right in front of our face, they said they really couldn't use an ideology or a philosophy or come at the people of America with that kind of a thing or a corporation because it'd be too impersonal. And they needed an individual that people would either love or hate with a passion. Well, guess who that is? It's Donald Trump. People either love him or they hate him. And Nancy Pelosi, full of hatred. I mean, absolutely. She denied it. I'm a Catholic, and I don't hate anybody. Yeah, they do. They hate Donald Trump. The communists hate you out there listening. They want to kill you. I don't know why people can't get that across in their brain, that we have a government that wants to exterminate the vast number of people in America, let alone the whole world, which they plan fully to depopulate the entire planet. But here in America, when they come to power, and I believe they're going to, I don't think this is going to be stopped. I pray it is, but I'm very, very suspicious about the timelines. And especially with what I just read to you from the scripture, the 4th and 20th day of the 9th month is actually December 22nd, 2019, this year. I'm not saying it's going to happen this year. Maybe it's next year. But there's just too many things going on. We got the 12-12-12 date. Tomorrow is actually the Pearl Harbor. Will they try a false flag tomorrow? These people are hell-bent to get rid of Trump. They'll do anything to get rid of Trump. Rush Limbaugh, all these guys have now begun to figure out these communists have no mercy whatever. They intend to take America down and convert it into a communist nation, and anybody who resists will simply be liquidated. It's all in the protocols of the Elders of Sion. They wrote it all down. They're following it to the letter. Iron Mountain, Blueprint for Tyranny. If you're not familiar with it, again, go to Angel Fault 923. It's there. It's free. Not going to cost you anything. A little time to watch it. It's all coming to pass. Iron Mountain Blueprint, I think I did that back in the early 90s or late 80s. And everything we said in there has happened and is happening now. This has been a long-term project. Psalm 2 has been going on, as Larry has said a number of times, for many years. Right, Larry?
Oh, absolutely. That's the biggest war that nobody ever talks about. And I got a text from Darnett. Is that Saul Alinsky or Alinsky
yes.
that you were referring
yep.
to? And that's Obama's buddy.
Yes. Yeah, they fully intend to take down America. The installation of Trump, according to insiders who were with the Secret Service, you can't vet this stuff, but it makes sense now that you look back on it. They said they selected Trump back in 2013. Now, that doesn't mean Trump is aware of the fact that he was selected and is simply going to be used. But his personality is such that you either love the guy and you don't like any of this baloney that everybody else is fluff. He doesn't have any fluff. What he says is what he thinks at the moment he thinks it. If you don't like it, too bad. He doesn't care. He doesn't care at all. In fact, I was reading a little thing on Willie Nelson. You know who Willie Nelson is. He said, I don't care what people think about me. He doesn't. And people really ought to take that to heart. If you're going to go through life serving everybody else, you're going to end up in a bad place because they're just going to use you and throw you out, which may be exactly what is happening to Donald Trump. He may not be aware at all of what's going on. We don't know. So I'm going to cut him the benefit of the doubt and cut him some slack on that. But they are definitely using Donald Trump to bring in this new world order. And this is what this is about. And that's all it's about. This is all about the new world order. This is a communist coup to take down the United States. And I think they're going to get away with it. What's your take? I think it's coming very rapidly.
Well, even the Torcos that Barry Rothman run is indicating that, you know, that something is afoot and linking in the Obamas and Michelle and all of this, you know, right here in this time frame, even before the 2020 election. And let me run this by you real quick and get your comment because
yes.
Rabbi Glazerson hadn't done a lot of Torah codes lately, but he just put one out, which is really some interesting stuff. And he says that basically he titles this new Torah code he ran across, the Torah, Temple, Zion, Bible Code, and he says, he uses a scripture, he says, behold, a ladder set up on earth, at the top it reached to heaven, angels of God ascend and descend on it. And he said he believes that this is not a past event. He says he believes that this ladder, and you can call it Jacob's ladder if you will, it has a future event and possibly 2020. And anyway, there's six in the matrix. Let me read them to you because he calls it a Jacob's ladder phenomena. He said something's coming. And number one, Torah. Number two, Jacob. Number three, angels up and down. Number four, temple. Number five, from heaven. Number six, phenomena. That's really unusual.
That's setting up Israel for the false millennial reign. I'll bet you. And the term Jacob's ladder probably refers to the arrival of the fallen ones. They're going to be posing as God and as angels. This kind of goes in with the rise of the Sanhedrin and all the sacrificial worship. Remember when they did the sacrifice by the Temple Mount? I can't remember exactly where they did it. And they had the 70 nations come and observe all this. That was the Sanhedrin coming into power. It's all starting to come together on Tom Horn's website, Alliance of World Scientists. It's time to initiate depopulation protocols. Can't remember what her name was. She ran for vice president, and she wrote several books on the New Age. And what she basically said was that these aliens, which she called God's angels, were going to go around and eliminate all those people who could not evolve up the ladder. Isn't that interesting in relation to Jacob's ladder? I'm wondering if that's not a reference
to the actual arrival of the angels. You got people got to remember that God himself said, I'm setting up this delusion, and Israel has to go under the time of Jacob's trouble because they rejected the Messiah. And blindness, in part, has come upon Israel. And remember where Paul warned the church, do not boast against Israel. They were blinded in part so that the church could come into being. Remember when Jesus said, well, here I am, but I guess you don't want me, I'm paraphrasing it, so I'm going to go forth to another nation who will accept me. And, of course, America has been one of the leading, evangelical nations of the world. Of course, now we're not, but anyway. I want to read this to you, Larry. This is comes right into it. They got a picture of the Georgia Guidestones. Maintain humanity under 500,000 in perpetual balance with nature. Now, we have probably 6.7 billion people on the planet. If you do a quick math run, that's an elimination of 6 billion people. A recent open letter from the Alliance of World Scientists begin this way. We declare, with more than 11,000 scientists signatories from around the world, that planet Earth is facing a climate emergency. The letter is filled with urgent language and what the authors consider irrefutable proof that human beings are destroying the planet. Well, of course, they are not. That's absolute lie. If we give 0.001% our activities on this planet, we've done a lot. They will not acknowledge the sun is behind most of this. They just won't acknowledge it. And they offer their prescription. In addition to emissions reductions, renewable energy, carbon taxes, the authors think it's also time to say no to all children. World population must be stabilized and then reduced. To this end, they urge governments and international bodies, to draft these laws and whatnot to eliminate. This is all part of this overall thing, which goes along with the arrival and the angels liquidating all those who cannot evidently evolve upwards, ever upwards, in the frequency realms. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, it kind of brings back my memory of a dream I had one time, and when I shared it with you, you said you had a similar dream where we were running and hiding from giants.
Yes, I do remember. In fact, I was scared to death. I remember hiding behind a building, and this thing was taller than the trees, obviously hunting fee-fi-fo-fum. I smell the blood of an Englishman. Didn't come from just mythology, you know. It came from somewhere that was real. And if you want a good movie to watch to show you the size of these things, Jack and the Beanstalk movie? Jack the Giant Killer.
Yeah, that
was the name of the movie. That was people. You ought to watch that if you want to know how big these entities really are, and what they're capable of. I don't think they meant that when they produced it, but it really is very, very accurate. And with all the reports of people digging up this stuff, and then the Smithsonian comes along and steals it, and seals it up. Or they get threatened, shut your mouth, or things can happen to you. Anything that proves the Bible has to be done away with. They cannot have people believing in the Scripture. That's the bottom line of it. What do you think, Larry?
Oh, I totally agree. And if you remember in that Jack the Giant Killer, remember they were cannibalistic. They would eat people.
Yeah. Yeah, folks, if you run into a giant, he's got on a bib, and he's got a napkin with salt and pepper shakers on it, and he's looking at you, well, nighty-night. That's what they were doing. They were eating people, and that's right in the Bible. They were scared to death of these things.
Yeah,
they were eating all the animals, too, if I recall right. Weren't they, Larry?
Yeah, that was a kind of a low-tech giant operation. But Ray Bradbury, you know, did the Twilight Zone, and, you know, to serve man, that's the high-tech saucer version.
Yes. And it turned out to be a cookbook. Yeah, that was a classic of Rod Serling's Twilight. Anything else you got?
Well, I had, let's see, there's a new Toracode addition to the nanotechnology that Barry Rothman did. Did we have time?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Oh, okay, it's kind of interesting because Barry Rothman had an uncle called Gene Rothman, and he said his beloved uncle gave him a warning and marching orders before his death at 93. And here's the Toracode he ran and what he found in the Toracode, and there's 12, so I'll be quick here. Gene Rothman, number one. Number two, UFO and all fear. Number three, Levin. Number four, Mars. Number five, fear again. Number six, day and night. Number seven, and shall have assurance. Number eight, of your life. In other words, that's a whole phrase, seven and eight, and shall have no assurance of your life. Number nine, threat. Number 10, Roswell. Number 11, and there was light. And 12, and thunders. That's a bizarre one, but it's very interesting.
Seven thunders.
Hey,
maybe.
You know what, Stuart? I'll just inject this real quick and get your opinion. I hadn't seen it, but there's a new DVD out, I think only to a select few right now, from Steve Quayle, I believe, and some of the other ones that's working with him, called The Days of Thunder or The Seven Thunders or something like this. And it's by interview, heavily influenced by Chuck Missler. And I think it claims that an alien-type arrival is really what the Seven Thunders warning was.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't. When you go into Thessalonians, if you really read it carefully, it's talking about an arrival. And this arrival is going to be such a powerful event that it's going to fool, I'd say, probably 90% of humanity. And they've been the propaganda for this has been going on for years because it ties back to evolution. And what do you hear in your universities? What do you see in your high schools? Even in grade schools, what do you see in these science museums? It's all evolution. We're evolving, and we're forever evolving upwards. And it's an absolute lie. The Bible doesn't teach evolution at all. It teaches creation. And the Creator built within each family line the ability to adapt. And that ability to adapt is pretty wide-ranging. But when the environment comes to that end of adaptability, they perish, they die off. And we're having umpteen species dying off. Any last comment, Larry?
Yeah, I would just say that you're talking about the evolution, that they're evolving upward. That, to me, that's such a great deception. It's like people that live in a two-dimensional world, in other words, length and width, no height to it at all, claiming that they're growing up.
Yeah, maybe it ties right into Jacob's ladder, too, the ascent, because nobody wants to do what Jesus said to do, which was, go ye to the lowest room, and there wait, and I will come and visit with you, and then you can go up higher. So there has to be a descent before we ascend. Well, modern theology says, no, that's not true. All we got to do is ascend. And, of course, that's New Age, but I don't know. What are you going to do? Anyway, thanks, everybody, for listening. And we didn't get to some of the stuff I really wanted to get to, but that's usual. We got a lot of stuff going on. Any last word, Larry, quick?
I'll tell you what, I'm beginning to think that, I've always been known for saying keep your seatbelt buckled, but I'm thinking about we might need two seatbelts.
Yeah, this thing is starting to rock and roll, folks. Anyway, heads up, your redemption draweth nigh. And thanks, everyone, for listening. Thanks a lot, Larry, for coming on. And we'll see you again, the Lord willing.